It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
All right, hopefully in a couple of minutes we'll talk to Double T, Trent Tucker. Get his take on what happened last night at Target Center. Because when Trent Tucker was playing in the NBA, like that was when it was physical. That was when guys were knocking each other on their butts. That would the era that Trent Tucker played in, especially with Michael Jordan and those really rough Knicks teams, that was what changed. They changed. The NBA got away from that, from all of the rough basketball that was being played. So, you know, I really do want to get his perspective on, and I'm not saying and trying to endorse violence or fighting or anything like that, whatever. I am endorsing that you don't take any stuff off of people when you're playing a game of basketball. Like, that's not what you're going to do. And it was something that back when the Bulls had Michael Jordan, they made sure that they got Charles Oakley, that they got Bill Cartwright, that they got guys, tough guys, around MJ, and made sure that MJ was going to be good. And Horace Grant was another one. I just find all of that interesting. So we'll see if we can get Double T on the horn. We're efforting him right now. But we'll try him here back in a little bit. Hey, while I'm talking basketball, I do want to bring this up for a second. I've said this for the majority of the year because we've had some bad luck. Let's just call it for what it is. The Golden Gopher basketball women had a lot of bad luck this year. And specifically that bad luck was Mara Braun getting hurt. I think that the Golden Gophers are in the NCAA tournament easily if Braun doesn't injure her foot again. And I know that there'll probably be a question about whether she can stay healthy next year. Right? And I have no issue with that. But the bottom line is that this team is now in the WBIT final. And they will be facing Belmont for everything. And I'm just so happy to see these women be able to go through in the postseason and play at a high level. And this is the WBIT is essentially the real NIT for the women. They couldn't call it that because the simple fact, we can do 805. Okay, so we're gonna change it up. We'll Double T and do 805. He's unavailable right now, so we'll talk to him in about an hour. But I love the resiliency from the Gopher women, and I want to applaud Don Plitzwhite, the coach, because they could have easily mailed it in and just been like, you know what, we just had some really, really bad luck and make excuses. These young women have played their hearts out. I love everything about this team this season. It's unfortunate that Mar got hurt, but you talk about a team that's absolutely, in my opinion, NCAA tournament bound next year. It's the Golden Gopher women.
I think this also sets a good precedent because they could have just packed it in and said, you know, all right, we had some bad breaks. Because some people, you know, look at the what used to be the WNIT, and you're like, man, you know, I don't want to be here. I don't want to. You can either take your ball and go home and complain about it, or you can use it as motivation. And absolutely, you can use it as motivation. And for Mar Braun, you think about it, you're like, if you get her back and you know, some of the talent that you've got, you're like, you've got a pretty good base to work with next year in the uber competitive Big Ten. So I think that's, I think it's great that you can use it as motivation because, I mean, you think about it, you get some good mojo, you see the vibes, you see everything on social media, on Twitter or X or Blue Sky or Facebook or wherever. I mean, they're having fun too. And ultimately, I mean, sports is supposed to be fun, and you see what these young ladies are doing, and Coach P has got this team just, I mean, they're not supposed to be making this kind of run. Just sit there and enjoy the ride.
Yeah. I'm just happy for these young women, and I know that, because I watched a little bit of it today. I watched them leading up to halftime, and I watched a little bit of the third quarter. I didn't get a chance to see the final quarter of the game. We were getting ready to come on the air and do the show. But props to them. They are in the WBIT final. Once again, the Gophers defeated Florida 66-52. You ever been to Hinkle Fieldhouse? I've never been.
Never have, no.
I wonder what it's like, dude. They say it's legendary. We know that.
Oh, absolutely.
It's legendary. I wonder what it's like, though. I can only imagine.
There are some places that just have that history that you'd love to be a part of. And I mean, for as much as, you know, we kind of poo-poo, you know, Indianapolis and this and that, you know, it's kind of that fun little rivalry. But there is some, I mean, there's a reason why Indiana is the hoops haven. And you do have these famous buildings just to be able to go and play. It's not a bucket list item for me, but if I got the opportunity to go, I wouldn't, you know, sneeze at it whatsoever.
Oh, man, I'd love to go. Of all the facilities in college basketball that you have on your bucket list, mm-hmm. Give me your top two.
Oof, I would say Cameron for sure.
I've been in Cameron.
I've not been in Cameron. I mean, you know, just from the historical perspective too, I would have to say Allen Fieldhouse.
Well, that's got to be at the top of the list.
Well, I mean, right after.
Not after Cameron. It's got to be ahead of Cameron.
It doesn't have to be.
Naismith created the sport of basketball. How could that not be? Kansas basketball. It's the foundation of the sport. How could you not start there?
I'd rather go see Duke first.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to walk into Allen Fieldhouse. I'm going to wear my Mizzou. I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to slap myself right down.
You're going to get slapped.
Hey, dude, I got so much grief.
The ghost of Wilt Chamberlain is going to smack you right in the face.
Hey, man, you'd be so proud. I was in Dallas for an event at WrestleMania years ago, and I had my Mizzou jacket. And wouldn't you know, I had some Kansas Jayhawk fan that was like talking some smack behind me.
Okay,
and he was just like, "Hey, Mizzou sucks. Mizzou sucks." You know, and
really?
I looked, he was wearing KU. I'm like, "Oh, okay." I would have expected something from a KU fan, just like out of the blue. But no, it's like you can't go anywhere without being harassed by KU fans if you're in anything with Mizzou. But I'd like to go to Allen Fieldhouse.
What would you say is the most storied college basketball facility you've ever been in? Because for me, it's Allen Fieldhouse. Mm. It's the most storied. I've been in Cameron before too.
Yeah, I haven't.
I've been in the Dean Dome too.
Yeah, I was in the Dean Dome with a buddy of mine years ago. But I mean, that's kind of been it. That's been the one. But I mean, if there are two, because the old facility that, you know, UCLA used to play in,
that's bucket list. Pauley Pavilion.
Pauley Pavilion. Yeah, I would have to say Pauley Pavilion would also be there.
This is the actual, no, but this is, that facility's still open. It's the one that opened in 65.
Yes. Yeah. For the old John Wooden days when UCLA won like title after title after title with Bill Walton. And I mean, you name it, the legendary.
On television, Pauley Pavilion doesn't look that big. Dude, it holds like 12,000 people.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm looking at it right here.
Okay. Yeah, that's bigger than I thought, because you've got these older
12,829, so essentially right under 13,000.
You've got these older facilities that I think work better because they're a little more quaint because they're smaller and the more intimate, where now everything, you got to have the bells and the whistles, and it's not just a basketball arena now for a lot of these. It's like it's got to be a multi-use facility, right? I mean, you got to be able to have concerts and, other, events. And it's like the days of just a one-use facility, I feel, is gone. Because even if you ever start talking about doing something, with the barn, if you're ever going to replace it, guess what? It can't just be men's basketball. It's got to be women's. It's got to be volleyball. It's got to be all of these. It's like you can't. And I feel like when you start going into these multi-purpose facilities, you kind of lose the history of it, because that one program isn't the only thing that's going on in that building.
Yep. All right. So we did get a hold of Trent Tucker. We'll talk to him at 8:05 right here on the Lake Show. All right. Coming up next, though, we got Sound of the Bite. Oops. Bite of the Night. Sound of the Bite. Bite of the Night. Oh, my gosh. This is terrible. Coming up next here on the Lake Show.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the bite of the night involves Kim Mulkey. She is the head coach at LSU. She's been a part of Bite of the Night, I want to say, like a couple of times in the last year. And she's back at it. And tonight is a soundbite from her reacting to a reporter, a student reporter, by the way, yesterday after LSU ended up losing in the Elite Eight. Kim Mulkey is somebody that she's rude. There's no other way to put it. I mean, she's just rude when dealing, not just dealing with the media, but just dealing with people in general. She can be very arrogant in the way that she talks to people. Listen to Kim Mulkey respond to a question from a student reporter from KLSU, the student radio station at LSU. Just take a listen to this.
Jaden Smith, KLSU Sports. Coach, it's the second straight year you guys get eliminated in the Elite Eight. Just
Is that terrible or is that good?
Terrible.
How many Final Fours you play in?
None.
So it's probably pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
So First off, do I think that it's terrible that they lose in the Elite Eight? I would disagree with the young man in saying that it's terrible. But that's not the point. He didn't even finish his question. Like, he's setting it up, and he's saying that you've lost back, you know, second year in the Elite Eight. Let him finish his damn question, first off. Secondly, like, she was agitated already before he even finished it. So it's like, I don't know. She just didn't respect him from the jump, it seemed like.
No, and it's fun because this is KLSU, the LSU student radio station. Kim Mulkey is the head coach of LSU.
Yeah.
So you're basically crapping on a student that covers your team.
And he's trying to improve and get better.
Yes, and it's the complete opposite of what Vic Schaefer, the Texas head coach. That's the first thing that came to my mind, is that Vic Schaefer, the Texas women's basketball coach, went out of his way to praise students who covered his program, going so far as to be a reference for them on their resume. Kim Mulkey has got double middle fingers to this student. She's like, guns blazing, yeah, I'm Kim Mulkey.
She does.
I mean, it's like, it's complete disrespect to Jaden Smith, this young man who is probably, you know.
I've asked a dumb question years ago, too.
Well, I don't even think it's a dumb question.
I've asked a dumb question lately.
I mean, you just had Aaron Rupar on, and I can name like three or four of them.
Exactly.
Yeah, but all he's doing, he knows, like, we know what Kim Mulkey is. You think that there's a student that's covering that team that doesn't know that she could turn around and snap at you at a moment's notice? I mean, the same way that people probably did not want to ask Jim Boeheim questions. Same way that, you know, there are certain coaches that, you know, Mike Leach, you know, the late head coach of Washington. I mean, a great soundbite, but just not somebody that was really all that friendly. If, you know, this kid wasn't being adversarial. Like, I don't understand how. I mean, Kim Mulkey has done a ton of fantastic things in her career. I mean, a fantastic women's basketball coach. But you treat people like absolute garbage like that. And
I don't like it.
It's a shame. And again, this is a student that is covering. I mean, it's not like it wasn't even an opposing radio station. Like, it's LSU. This is your hometown student run. I mean, I would never.
There should be a certain level. You're right. A certain level of respect for any of those student reporters.
Yes.
Or any reporter.
Yeah.
But especially with an LSU reporter. It's not like he's covering you to just crap on you.
No. You know that whatever he does is going to be done favorable. Because nobody, when you're a student, Henry, and I go back to my days at, ironically enough, 91.9 KDSU. When you're covering the program, the very school that you are looking to get a degree from, there's a certain amount of homerism that you're going to have.
Yep.
It's just innate. Because you know what? These students that you're covering, you're probably going to see them around campus.
Yep.
You might have classes with them. So naturally, you're going to want to paint your university in a proper light. I mean, when I got to cover, you know, Bob Babich, when he became head coach of North Dakota State University football, or, you know, Amy Rooley, the women's head coach, who is a legend up there, had fantastic success for NDSU in the, you know, the mid to late 90s. It was an honor to do that. But these were my friends because I would see these athletes around and they knew who I was. Now, maybe LSU's bigger. I know it's bigger. I mean, you know, LSU, North Dakota State, no comparison. But the point is, he's not going to say anything that's going to be negative. I just don't get what you get out of, you know, feeling like you get to railroad a kid like that.
Yeah. 651-461-9226. Yeah, I don't like it. You know,
Have you ever felt the need to stand up for somebody when I never have, but when you see that there's, you know, another media member that might be bullied by somebody, have you ever felt the need to maybe speak up on their behalf?
I stand up for people all the time.
I mean,
you talking about strictly in media?
I mean, if you're in that sort of if you're in that environment, you can just tell that maybe
I have checked somebody in media when they were disrespectful towards somebody else with for no good reason.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I let them know, don't do that. That's disrespectful to that person. Don't do that. And they just, you know, they wanted to, they wanted to kind of talk to me like a little bit slick and sideways, and I wasn't playing that game.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious because, I mean, you've been in that environment. I've been in that environment. I've never seen anything.
I don't mind mixing it up with people.
No, I know you don't. Like you like the smoke. You're a healthy dude. For a healthy dude, you like a lot of smoke.
It ain't even about being healthy, but I'm not running from smoke.
You know, the only smoke I'm, you know, wanting is anything that's smoked with the barbecue. That's the only kind of smoke that I like. But you
like that other smoke too.
Oh, well, you know.
Okay, Cheech and Chong.
720. Hey, be nice. I ain't rolling a fatty for this daddy yet.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, come till after the show.
You're a piece of work.
Yes, I am.
All right, 651-461-9226. A texter, when I screwed up going to break last segment, he says, Henry, you're not screwing up. You're just taking one for the team. You're trying to make the Twins not feel bad.
Oh.
Twins conversation. It's coming up next year after weather on The Lake Show. All right, welcome back to The Lake Show, and we are the radio home for Twins baseball here on The Good Neighbor. And I am surprised, I am shocked, quite frankly, that the Twins are 0-4 to start the season. Get drilled in Chicago by the White Sox today, 9-0. So we'll get into the highlights maybe from this game or lowlights a little bit later in the show. But I want to start with the fact that I'm surprised that they're 0-4. Okay. Do I think that the Twins are the worst team in this division? Absolutely not. Do I think that am I freaking out? No, I'm not freaking out. It's four games. Okay. But I'm not going to sit here and act like it's nothing. The fact that the Bats are struggling is concerning. But there's something that I want to get to before we even get to the Bats. I just don't think that Chris Paddock being a starting pitcher in this rotation is a thing. I know it's one start, and I know that a lot of you Twins fans out there say, Lake, you're blown out of proportion. It was just one start. I don't think he has it, man. It hasn't been good ever since we traded for Chris Paddock. And today gave me no confidence that he's got it. Chris Paddock. Acquiring Chris Paddock has been a train wreck. It has. Let's just call for what it is. And this is not me and a hater on Chris Paddock. I like Chris Paddock. I think he's a... He seems like a good dude. I've talked to him at Twins Fest, up on the big stage. He's hilarious. But it hasn't worked out. He's always been hurt, never truly been healthy. And now for the first time, they're saying he's healthy. And for his first start of the year, he gets rocked. 3 1/3 innings, 6 hits, 9 runs. Check it, 9, all earned. He walked 4 batters, 2 strikeouts, gave up 3 home runs on 89 pitches. It was beyond rough. Okay? It was beyond rough. And so, let's go back to Twins Fest. Because I didn't ask like a bunch of critical questions of Dave St. Peter and Derek Falvey and, you know, when we did the show, me and Corey Provost. But I did ask about specifically Chris Paddock because I said to Derek Falvey that just based on what has happened the last couple of seasons with Chris Paddock, I view him as, in a negative way, a question mark. And, you know, I said I didn't want to be negative, which got a chuckle out of Dave St. Peter. But the reality of it is that it's not been good. And this is what Derek had to say about Chris Paddock and his offseason and how he views him going into spring training.
Yeah, that's fair. Chris has certainly been someone who, at times for us, has pitched really well, has had good stretches of baseball. Last year, coming back from a Tommy John surgery, his second in his career, ultimately got through a place where he threw a bunch of innings for us, but then dealt with some challenges again. I think anytime a player ends hurt and isn't healthy, it's a question mark going into next year. I wouldn't run from that at all, Henry. And I think that the key for us is how is the offseason going? And the thing that we've heard is that since the day he got healthy and was in a good place and cleared by his docs to continue his progression, he's been throwing every day. He said it's felt better this offseason than he's probably felt in a long time, because even prior to a Tommy John surgery, usually someone's dealing with some issues and they're dealing with some soreness going into it that finally, when it pops, you know, it's been unhealthy for a period of time. He feels as healthy as he ever has. This guy is an incredible worker. He's prepared, and he knows this is an important season for him. He's a free agent at year's end. He's got a chance to go back into that market. I think he's really prepared, and we'll see in spring training how much that work this offseason paid off.
I'm already concerned about the pitching. And I'm not trying to freak out here in the first week, okay? It's four games. But I am going to keep it real with the listening audience. And you guys can weigh in, by the way, if you want to. It's 651-461-9226. I say this as a Twins fan. I love the Twins. I am a kid that used to wave the Homer hanky. And I probably still somewhere have Homer hankies stashed away somewhere. So feel free to call in or text into the show. But I have to be honest about the pitching situation, because I don't trust Chris Paddock. I don't. And it's not me hating on him. I don't think that any Twins fan can trust him. That was part of my question to Derek Falvey, is about Chris Paddock. Number one. Number two, what have I said over spring training? And what did I say last week to Vanita Sakar? And I even said as much this past weekend when I filled in on Enough Said on Fox 9. I said, along with younger guys stepping up and somebody taking a step forward, you know what you can't have? You can't have Bailey Ober regress. You can't have Bailey Ober regress. Maybe it's just a Missouri thing. He doesn't pitch well like Kauffman. He doesn't pitch well in St. Louis. But Bailey Ober wasn't good for his first start again. And then I guess the third thing was, and I said this to you last week. I said this to you, Chris Tubbs. I said, Randy Dobnik making the final roster. I said, something's weird. That doesn't feel right to me. And I know that he went, was it 5 1/3 yesterday? Mm-hmm. And he gets DFA'd. I'm trying not to freak out about the starting rotation, but I got questions.
I think Randy Dobnik gave you exactly what you needed from him. You just didn't want it in the third outing of the year. And, you know, we hear the outside of Joe Ryan, this first turn through the rotation has been a train wreck. Even Pablo, and I know Pablo's final line was okay. Twins were never in that game. The Twins have not been in any of the first four games, regardless of even having a lead on, what, yesterday? Was it a 1-0 lead that they had before Bailey got rocked? I mean, you look at it, the pitching has gone sideways. The bats are still in spring training, apparently. Like, nothing good has happened for the Minnesota Twins so far this season. You know, as it relates to Bailey Ober, you know, had the bad start, his first one last year against Kansas City when he got rocked for 8 runs. Now, you know, we hear that Bailey Ober was sick on Friday, had an IV, and then he pitched yesterday. That's all fine and dandy, but at the end of the day, he got rocked. You know, whether or not he was healthy, whether or not he was sick, Bailey got smoked by the Cardinals. And I think that the Cardinals have more talent than what people gave them credit for. I mean, I know by St. Louis standards, it was not, you know, they're not where they used to be. But St. Louis is not going to be the doormat that I think that people think they are. Chris Paddock, today was just very confusing to me that as I was watching the game and, you know, Corey and was it Morney that was on the call with him today? They were talking about, you know, Chris Paddock being ahead of batters where, you know, he had the first pitch strike. Well, that's fine. But when you get later in the count, when it's 2-1 or 3-1 and the count runs full and that pitch count, you know, it continues to elevate. And there's something about the stuff might be fine, but I just didn't get the sense that he's confident enough to really go after hitters because he was nibbling too much. And I think that's why you saw those walks. That's why runners are on base. Something with Chris Paddock right now in terms of just not wanting to attack these guys.
Maybe he's just not that good. Have we? I mean, maybe it's that.
Maybe it is the two Tommy Johns. You know, the injuries, when you're talking about serious injuries and you're talking about Tommy Johns, you know, not one, but two. Yeah, it's kind of like a, you know, somebody that uses their legs, you know, like a Royce Lewis.
I'm not going to even blame it on Tommy Johns, dude.
Well, I'm
not going to sit here and say that the injuries haven't had anything to do with it. But like,
I'm not saying it is Tommy John, but I don't think you can discount the fact that he's had these two major surgeries, and maybe he doesn't trust it as much as maybe he used to.
No,
maybe it's not there like it used to be for him. He knows it.
You're missing my point. When has he ever been good? When has Chris Paddock ever been, like, good, like, really good?
Well, I think you look at the beginning part of his career before the injuries.
He had his first year, he threw 140 innings. Since then, look at his pro baseball reference standard pitching line. Like, there's nothing there that says that he was, like, off the charts. And listen, I'm not trying to say that he is the worst. That's not my point in bringing this up. But I'm not going to act like Tommy John derails like some Hall of Fame career, because it has not.
But I think you look, and
it's not there, bro.
The Twins, but this is kind of the Twins' MO, though, right? You look at these guys that, I mean, they were part of the Taylor Rogers trade. I mean, we want to talk about Kwesi Adofo-Mensah not hitting his, you know, not hitting his.
That was not a good trade for the Twins.
No, it yeah. wasn't. But I mean, neither was the Tyler Malley trade when they traded, Edwin Encarnacion. Not Encarnacion. I'm totally.
I know you're talking about the young bat.
Yeah, the young bat. Yep. So there have been these trades that have not panned out because you're looking at these pitchers that have been damaged goods. And hopes that you can rehab them. And I think when you're talking about it, and I'm looking at 2019, I think that's ultimately
when he threw for 140, right. That was 140 innings.
Right, before all of the injuries. But you had the war, you look at everything, and 153 strikeouts in, you know, 140 innings. When you have somebody that had the strikeout per inning upside, that's what you're looking for. And that guy may not be there. Like, that may have been the high, you know, as high as Chris Paddock's going to go. And maybe that's what it was. Because we can go back to the Dylan Bundy. We can go back to the Chris Archer. There are a lot of examples of the Twins wanting to get these reclamation projects and rebuild them in hopes that maybe you can find that lightning in a bottle. If it's not there, it's not there.
From the text line for the 507, Henry, how can you be down on our number four pitcher when the guys ahead of him has proven nothing? All three other got rocked. That is more concerning. After four games, we are the worst team in baseball right now. Let me say this, because I'm not sure how everything looks across Major League Baseball, because we're not the only winless team in Major League Baseball. But let me say this. That's just not true with what you're texting. Pablo Lopez, even though he lost, he did not get rocked. Joe Ryan did not have a bad outing. So to sit there, he didn't have a bad outing.
Joe Ryan looked good.
Yes, Joe Ryan looked good.
It was Jorge Alcala that ruined that game.
So to sit here and act as though just the number four guy got rocked. He got rocked, and everybody else got rocked. That's not true. And I'm not sitting here and acting as though Pablo Lopez performed at the level of being an ace. He did not. He was off for the opening day start. But did he get rocked? No, he did not. And Joe Ryan did not. He performed well.
Yeah, but Bailey Ober got rocked.
Yes.
Pablo didn't get rocked, but Pablo struggled, and he struggled early. And the fact that the Twins were down, when I say they were never in that game, even though they were down by a run, I never got the sense that the Twins were going to threaten in that game. When it comes to today, Chris Paddock got his ass handed to him. I mean, the same way that Bailey Ober did. I mean, it was really ugly. But, I mean, the Braves are 0-4, and they just lost Jackson Profar, their big free agent signing, to 80 games for PEDs. I mean, Ronald Acuna is coming back from the injury. Spencer Strider, their ace, is still coming back from an injury. The Brewers are 0-4. They don't even have their ace. Corbin Burns, was in Baltimore. You got
Detroit was a playoff team, and they are 0-3.
Yeah, so I don't think we can...
Granted, they played the Dodgers.
Yeah, you can look at it and say, well, God, they're... I mean, based on what we're seeing, the Twins are struggling right now. Now, if we get to Thursday and the Twins have lost 2 out of 3 in Chicago, or they get swept and we're coming into the home opener on Thursday, the vibes are going to be a little bit different, because then you got to go to Kansas City right after.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of things that are not in this. But like I said, you can't win a pennant in April, but you can lose it. Twins aren't there, but you got to tighten a lot up.
All right, coming up next, we've got headlines. That's next year on The Late Show.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's dive into headlines here on The Late Show. Chris Tubbs, what you got on the menu for this Monday evening?
Well, it's never too early to start talking about the great Minnesota get-together, right? I mean, it's always State Fair time here. Well, if you rely on street parking to visit the Minnesota State Fair, expect to start paying $25 a day for it in the near future. Though street parking during the fair has been long free in Falcon Heights, a plan to start charging daily parking fees is now moving forward in the city council. At a hearing last Wednesday, council members approved two motions, one to change city ordinances to allow for electronic parking meters, and another that allows the city to negotiate a contract with Park Mobile, a pay-to-park app. Now, a city task force aimed at exploring the issue told the council that the high traffic generated by the fair causes, quote, wear and tear on city infrastructure and strains public resources. The expenses come in the form of everything from extra police and staff hours to additional porta potties, and the city gets the bill without adequate compensation from the fair, one task force member argued. Now, the proposal would bring up to $200,000 in revenue for the city annually. However, according to Fox 9, the plan is seeing its share of local pushback, with residents describing it as greedy and unwelcoming during last week's packed hearing. Station notes that the proposal, which is still preliminary, calls for issuing parking passes for neighborhood residents. Council is set to meet again next week to continue exploring the plan, and it's not clear yet when the new parking system would go into effect if approved.
We're already getting prepared for the great Minnesota get-together, baby.
Yeet. Yes.
Are you ready?
I am. I'm ready.
I'm ready for Sweet Martha's.
Yes, I'm ready for the French fries, for Sweet Martha's.
I still haven't had one of those donuts that people wait like an hour for. The one that Shaletta, she's always going and buying like a ton of them because she's got all kinds of money.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's got that Shaletta budget. Yeah. I have not had one of those, but I don't know that I would wait an hour in line for anything at the state fair. I don't know. There's just too much out there.
It's called Peachy's. Yeah, I've never had that.
Yeah.
I need to have it.
Yeah, I don't know that I would wait that long for it. Hey, Morgan Wallen has caused quite a stir by making an early exit from Saturday Night Live. In an unusual moment at the end of Saturday night's episode hosted by Mikey Madison, the country singer who served as the musical guest abruptly walked off the stage during the sign-off. Now, the casting musical guests traditionally stay on stage at the end of each SNL every week and are seen saying goodbye and hugging one another as the credits roll. On Saturday, though, Wallen left the stage immediately after Madison said goodnight. He could be seen briefly hugging the Enora star before walking towards the audience and passed to view the camera. Now, Madison and the rest of the cast remained on stage for the remainder of the credits. After the episode, Wallen took to his Instagram stories to post a photo of a plane and wrote, quote, "Get me to God's country." Now, Wallen was previously a musical guest on Saturday Night Live in 2020. During that earlier appearance, he remained on stage during the closing credits, hugging and sharing high fives with members of the cast. Walk-off moment sparked a wave of criticism of the I'm the Problem singer, who last year pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor reckless endangerment after throwing a chair off the roof of a bar. Quote, "He's been there before and he knew exactly what he was doing," wrote one fan on Reddit. "He wanted to show the audience he didn't care for the cast or doing the show." In an ex post, another viewer suggested Wallen had, quote, "thrown a tantrum" and speculated he will never be on SNL again. Now, Wallen's previous musical guest appearance on SNL came after he was uninvited from the show earlier in 2020, when video surfaced of him showing partying without a mask amid the COVID-19 pandemic. He said, "I'm not COVID positive for COVID," he said at the time, "but my actions this past weekend were pretty short-sighted, and they obviously affected my long-term goals and my dreams. I respect the show's decision because I know that I put them in jeopardy."
All right, so I'm not all in a tizzy about him walking off, because clearly he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be there anymore. That's one thing. But let me address something else. I know we've only got a minute left, so this is probably like the last thing that we're getting to here with headlines. And this is just a pet peeve. I hate when people say God's country. Because this is the reason why I hate it, is because you're implying and making the insinuation that God's country is only in rural areas, as though like people in the big city, this is not God's country. Like, seriously, it just bugs me. What is God's country? What makes rural America God's country?
I think because they use it in songs. And they put it on social media. Yes.
Really?
If you use it in a song,
but why?
You can claim
it. Do they do that?
I don't know, because
I hate that.
That's what people like to hear. Try that in a small town. See? Small town in God's country.
Oh, gosh. I don't know why it bugs me when people say that. It's always, and look, my dad's family, the Lake family's from a small town.
Grew up in a small town?
Whenever I go back to Arkansas, God's country. What?
Yeah. Oh. God don't like those inner city thugs and heathens.
Bugs me.
Man, they don't like us no more.
Bugs me. All right, let's get a wrap-up headlines. Coming up next, we're going to check in. Finally, we're going to talk to Trent Tucker. He's out of town. That's the reason why we didn't talk to him at 7, but we'll talk to him next year on The Late Show.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time, they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
How I Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How I Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.